Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Psalm 18, so you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk, so if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. So let's read Psalm 18.
To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed, the heavens came down, thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew, he came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourselves pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by now I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer. He set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through, so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever.
Okay, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all here today. Now, I have a confession to make. Sometimes I can't do everything. And that's pretty hard for me to admit. But I have something here. I'd like to tell you a story. One night recently, I was cooking dinner and I needed a jar of passata. And it was way up high in my pantry. And I couldn't reach it no matter how hard I tried. I'd get up on my tippy toes, but I could not reach it. And do you know what I did? I called on my husband, who is very tall. Okay, and Jesse came and he rescued me. He reached up, and it wasn't even hard for him. He just grabbed that jar of passata and handed it to me. So, Jesse, as a token of my appreciation, I present you with this medal. Thank you for being my rescuer. Now, I'm sorry to say that that wasn't the end of all my troubles, because when I tried to open my jar of passata, I tried and I got all my muscles and I couldn't open my jar of passata. It was very upsetting. I needed somebody to rescue me. How was I going to make my spaghetti bolognese without my passata? So you know what I did? I called on my husband, who is very strong, and I gave him my jar of passata, and he gave it a slight twist, and the lid came off. It wasn't even hard for him. Once again, Jesse came to my rescue. So Jesse, as a token of my appreciation, I would like to present you with this trophy. Thank you for being my rescuer and for saving my spaghetti bolognese. Now, there was another day recently. This was a very traumatic day for me, okay? There was a huntsman spider in the bathroom. Now, those of you who know me well will know that I'm not a big fan of spiders of any sort, but huntsman spiders are especially nasty. So, what did I do in my hour of trouble? I called upon my children. Kai and Ellie came to my rescue. One of them had a broom and they picked up the item of clothing where the spider was hiding, and the other one got the bug spray and sprayed hard, and I watched from the safety of the hallway. So Kai and Ellie, thank you for rescuing me. As a token of my appreciation, I would like to present you both with these trophies. Thank you for being my rescuer from the scary huntsman spider. Now guys, we all need a rescuer, don't we? Because we can't always deal with life on our own, can we? In the psalm that we read today, there was a man called David, and David was God's chosen king. But he had a really rough time. He had enemies all around him. The king that God chose first was chasing him. His own son hated him. People in his own family, in his own tribe, in his own clan didn't like the way he was leading. Okay, he had enemies all around him. But he cried out to God, and God rescued him. And it wasn't even hard for him. Okay, God rescued David. And so David, he could have given God a trophy, I suppose, like this. He could have said, God, as a token of my appreciation, I give you this trophy. But he didn't. Instead, David wrote a song. A song about how much he loved God and praised God and rejoiced in God, because God had rescued him from his enemies. Now there's even better news, guys, because we are all in big trouble and we can't get out of it on our own. See, we are all sinners. We've all turned away from God. And because of that, God is our enemy. But God has rescued us from his anger and sent his son to die in our place so that we could be free. God has rescued us from sin. So I suppose we could all give God a trophy. Say, thanks, God. As a token of our appreciation, we offer you this trophy. But God doesn't really want a trophy, does he? God wants us to love him and trust him and thank him. So let's say a prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have rescued us and delivered us from sin. Thank you that we are not your enemies anymore because you sent Jesus to die for us. We love you. We pray that you would help us to keep trusting you all the days of our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's come in prayer now to our God as we consider more of this psalm and what it is telling us about God and about ourselves and our great need for him. Let's come, let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so we pray that now your spirit would be at work in our hearts, giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand this word that he has brought forth through the prophets, through the apostles. We thank you for David. We pray that as we look to his words, that we would understand more, but more than that, that our love for you would deepen and grow, that our appreciation of our salvation would be extended, and Lord, that we would live all our lives for the Lord Jesus in the power of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you think that things are getting smaller, it's not just because you're getting bigger. You might have had that experience where a place that looked so large when you were a child
You go there later on and you discover it's actually quite small. But as you've gone shopping, you might have noticed that things are smaller than they were last week. Like the other one, it takes years from something being large to something seeming quite small, but now things can seem smaller within a week. They're the same price, this item, but you're not convinced that you're getting as much. And you may be right. It's a trick that some food companies pull, and other companies, I suppose. Instead of raising their prices and making us get a bit narky, they'll give you less while charging the same. Those chocolate bars are smaller. That packet of chips does have more air. That box of cereal has less. It's called shrinkflation. Isn't it sad to think that we can say, back in my day, you could get a 250-gram block of chocolate? Is it 200 now or 180? I'm not sure. Is God like that, do you think? The more that time goes on, does he just start to get a bit smaller? Does he begin to disappoint? Does the wonder of him lessen as familiarity breeds contempt? If that's how we're feeling, well, there's something wrong in us, because there's nothing lacking in God. In Psalm 18, David shatters our familiar thoughts about God. He reintroduces us to the God who shakes the world, who wears darkness, and who breathes fire. He reminds us in our troubles of the God who is for us. He tells us, with as much force as he can muster, the Lord is your fortress and defender. And with descriptions like these in Psalm 18, who else would you want to be your fortress and defender? Our first heading is in verses 1 to 6, where God deserves our love. God deserves our love. Verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, sometimes we forget that love was meant to be the core characteristic of God's people. And here's David, the warrior king, a manly man, if ever there was one, declaring his love. What inspired this declaration? The title of this psalm tells us that God had delivered him from all his enemies and from Saul. An almost identical version of this psalm is found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, near the end of David's life. The Philistines were defeated. The threat from Absalom, his son, is gone. David, the man of war, is at peace at last. And as he considers his victories, he doesn't sit back in self-satisfaction. He doesn't congratulate himself for his strategic brilliance or his strong army. He declares his love for God because God delivered him. And then he piles on names and descriptions of God. See in verses 1 and 2, strength, rock, fortress, deliverer, refuge, shield, horn of salvation, stronghold. They're words of might and power. But did you see that David isn't just giving some names to God? They're personal names. Did you notice God isn't just strong? He is David's strength, David's rock, fortress, and deliverer. God is for him. And he knows that if God is for him, that no one can be against him. If you want some encouragement this week, why not try and memorize these first two verses of Psalm 18? Make them your verses. See, David doesn't just use these words lightly. In verses 4 to 5, he shares how close he came to death. He was nearly in Sheol, the realm of the dead, where the spirits of men live separated from their bodies until the resurrection. A few years ago, Beck listened to an audiobook about an Australian woman who was involved in the French resistance during World War II called Codename Helena. It was full of intrigue, adventure, excitement, romance, but it was totally unbelievable. There was no way that this story could be true. It was just fun fiction. Well, that's what she thought. Until she got to the end of the book, where the author explained which parts of the story were true and which weren't. And the vast majority of the ridiculous, unbelievable events, the vast majority of them actually happened. They were fact. Nancy Wake was a real person, a real hero. We can sometimes forget that David was a real person. We're thousands of years removed. We don't always comprehend that this was a real man facing real dangers, really fearing for his life. And in verses 4 and 5, he describes his fear powerfully, vividly. He was drowning, the seaweed tying him up and pulling him under. He had no idea how this story would end. All he could do was trust in God to save him. And so in verse 6, he cried out to the Lord, the faithful, trustworthy God. And the Lord heard him. And once again, David discovered that God deserves our love because the Lord is his fortress and defender. God is no small God. Not that David won every battle. It hadn't been easy for David. He'd spent years hiding from Saul. His son turned against him. But looking back, he sees what God has done for him, and he loves God for that. But how has God been his fortress and deliverer? That brings us to our second heading in verses 7 to 30. God moves creation to rescue us. When did God do this for David? When did God do this? Verses 7 and 8. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. When did that happen? When did God come down in darkness? Maybe you're racking your brain trying to think through what you know of David's life. But while David's story is full of adventure and high emotion, battles, victories, betrayals, you won't find a story like this describes. At least not literally. See, David is describing what God did in poetry. He is describing reality in a vivid way. He's expressing God's greatness greater than our minds can comprehend. And he's linking God's rescuing him with how God rescued Israel in the Exodus. It was there, at the Exodus, that God literally moved creation to rescue Israel. There was darkness and hail, and God caused a great wind to split the Red Sea. And David relates all of those events to himself in verses 11 and 12 and 15. David is grabbing onto this imagery to say what God did for Israel in saving them from Egypt, he did for me. He moved creation to rescue me. It all seemed hopeless. I was helpless, but God moved. He rescued. In 1 Samuel 23, David and his men were hiding from Saul in the wilderness of Ziph. But the locals there ratted him out. And there was a chase. David and his men running around one side of the mountain, and Saul and his men on the other side of the mountain. Saul was catching up. David's doom was sure. kind of reminds me of the footy where someone's running down the oval with the ball, thinking that they're clear, but actually they're being chased. And suddenly they're caught, tackled, they go down. And it's a glorious moment if it's your team that tackled him. A devastating one if it was your team that was brought down. What happens to David? He was being run down, and suddenly during the chase, someone comes to Saul and says that the Philistines have invaded. It's as if God has moved heaven and earth to save David. Nations, armies are at God's beck and call. And at that moment, the Philistines just happened to invade. Then David explains why God saved him. Verses 20 and 21, "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God." We get uncomfortable with that kind of language. We'd never dream of using that kind of language about ourselves, would we? But you see, David isn't claiming perfection. He's claiming loyalty to God and allegiance to God. You know, if you're a Christian, these can be your words, your prayer. Because if it's true, it is not arrogant to say that you are his child and that you live for him. Yes, you know that you live imperfectly for him, but you do live for him, don't you? God saves a humble people, verse 27. He's their fortress and defender, moving creation to rescue them. And you can pray this prayer in your troubles. You can remind God that you haven't abandoned him when troubles came, that you belong to him. You can ask him to light your way when all seems dark, verse 28. You can pray this because God moves creation to rescue his people. The Lord is your fortress and defender, deserving of love. And in our third heading, verses 31 to 50, we get more detail on how God rescued David. What did this moving of creation look like in David's case? Well, in these last verses, our third heading, God subdues the nations under his king. See there in verse 31, David started the psalm saying, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and fortress and deliverer." And now here in verse 30 or 31, he includes the nation. "For who is God but the Lord? Who is a rock except our God?" And then he uses himself as an example again. He wants God's people to look at him and so have confidence in God. What God did for David, he does for all his people. Verses 33 and 34, "He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." These are the kinds of words that you just want to keep on reading. They're so vivid, so encouraging. God gave David the strength he needed. He wasn't left with shaking knees. His arm wasn't so weak that he couldn't bend his bow back. No, he was even able to bend back a bow of bronze. That would take real strength. And look at verse 37. "I pursued my enemies and overtook them," he says. Once he had been pursued, but now he was going after them. This isn't revenge. This isn't like a mobster saying, if they hit us, we need to hit them back twice as hard. No, those who had threatened his life were now facing the justice of the anointed king strengthened by God to rule and judge. See, this is how God is his fortress and defender. This is how God moved creation to rescue David. He gave him strength to do what he needed, to be the king who wins the battle, whose enemies turn their backs on him in retreat, verse 40, so that he could destroy them. And when his enemies cried out to God for help, well, God didn't answer them. See, they had rejected the king that he had established in Zion. They wouldn't escape his judgment through his king. Loyalty to God isn't something that they could switch on and off at their convenience when life was going well or not. No, David was victorious over his enemies. And not just those in Israel. Verse 43, "You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me." The king of Israel was ruling over the nations. And as threats are removed, as God subdues the nations under his king, he brings peace. Psalm 18 isn't a private prayer. It was written for God's people to know, to use, to rejoice. We have this psalm so we'd know the Lord as our fortress and defender, that he defends his king, strengthens the king to conquer the nations and bring peace to his people. Ultimately, this is a psalm about the salvation that God brings through Jesus. See verse 50? "Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and to his offspring forever." See, Jesus is David's offspring. All his life, the enemy had threatened him, but God kept him safe. While he was an infant, he was rescued from Herod. When the crowds wanted to throw him off the cliff, God rescued him. His confidence in God's salvation was so great that he could even sleep on the boat in the midst of the storm. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was tempted to fall into despair, God was there with him. While at the edge of his strength, praying that God would remove the cup, but still wanting God's will to be done, not his, God sent an angel to strengthen him. You see, the cross was a battle. At the cross, sin, death, and the devil were defeated. The great enemies of God's people, keeping us down since the fall, were crushed. At the cross, Satan's hold over us was broken. He is the accuser. And when we trust in Jesus, his death and his resurrection, when we trust in those things, our sin is taken away, cast from us as far as the east is from the west. All Satan's accusations now fall flat because the judgment for our sin has already been borne by one who never sinned. This is the victory that all God's people know through Jesus. It's by believing in this message that the Lord becomes our fortress and our defender as we become united to the King of God's people. Which means, if you know Jesus, your great enemy has already been dealt with. And that means that you can trust him in everything else. When the news from the doctor isn't good, there's nothing you can do, you're just waiting for the end, you can know God is your fortress and deliverer. You've been saved from your sin. He will not let you go. Jesus says you're safe in his hands. But we don't just stop there, do we? Jesus has saved us from our sin, but he hasn't stopped there. The Lord is your fortress and defender. He gives strength to his people. He moves creation to rescue us. When we're facing terminal disease, we pray. We know that God's under no obligation to heal. He might not heal, but he has the power and he loves us. We can pray with boldness to God that his will be done. We can pray that he would heal. My own family knows that God sometimes answers these prayers. We can pray that he'd provide for our financial need, that he would bring peace to relationships, that ungodly laws would be repealed. There's no shrinkflation with God. He doesn't get smaller every time you look at him. In all your struggles, he is there with you. Whether you're deciding whether to move cities or to find a new job, whether it's what to study or who to marry, he is there. He's your fortress and defender. And not that everything in life will be easy, not that you'll never suffer. David knew suffering, Jesus knew suffering, but in your suffering, even if the suffering never ends in this life, it will end. And in that pain, the Lord is your fortress and defender. He holds you close. He won't let the enemy have his way with you. In your battles and pain, the devil wants to defeat you, to make you doubt him, to turn away from him. See, that, if that happened, if you turned away from God, that would be your defeat, even if at that moment the confusion, the suffering, the pain, all of that went away. Don't give in to the temptation to turn away from God. The Lord is for you. He is your fortress and defender. Cry out to him. When you trust in Jesus, your greatest problem and enemy is dealt with. Sin is taken, forgiven. And that same fortress and defender is powerful to save you even from the smaller troubles of life. Cling to the Lord because he is your fortress and defender.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.